All right, bless your hearts. Have a seat, please. Blessed to be back here again. Bless your hearts, all of you on Facebook and reconference call. I didn't break out into a little dance here, did I? No, that's okay. But I wanted to play that song in the middle of our meeting this morning by this emerging group by the name of Brothers of the Heart. Some of you probably recognize that song, and even maybe some of the voices, started by a gentleman by the name of Jimmy Fortune, who was part of another group for 20-plus years called the Statler Brothers. And they just loved to sing in these harmonious voices and that sort of thing. And I love groups like that that have voices that just blend together, and it just causes you to stay focused in the present moment, and that will play into what I'm going to be sharing this morning. But I wanted to start off, I wanted to read a few quick stories here that are part of a larger article called The First Time I Encounter God, True Stories of Experiencing God's Presence. And the first one is called, I Thought I Must Be Having a Nervous Breakdown. I was in a horrible spot. I thought I was having a nervous breakdown. I thought everything in my life was falling apart. I was in the bathroom. I had put the boys to bed because I was feeling so depressed. I'm not a depressed type person, but this night I was feeling really, really down. I heard an audible voice, and I thought, oh my gosh, it's my ex-husband. He's breaking into my house again. It started and stopped 5 times. I checked the house thoroughly. There was nothing. Finally, I thought, I must be having a nervous breakdown. I'm hearing voices. I threw my toothbrush into the sink and said, all right, I'll listen. The voice, this audible voice began to speak, Psalm 23, from the beginning to the end. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and I kept going and going. And 3/4 of the way through, I suddenly knew it was God's voice. I knew that He loved me. All of the sin that I was in, and all the pain, and all of the anger, and all the problems, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that He loved me just like I was in that moment in time. I ran to my dresser, where I had my confirmation Bible in the drawer in its box. I got it out and I read Psalm 23 over and over and over again. The more I read it, the more love poured into my heart, the more assurance poured into my heart as well. Did my circumstances change? Not for a while, but God's transforming love, that encounter with His presence and His love, changed me forever. Here's another one. And this one's called, Every Single Sickness Left My Body. The first time I encountered God was in Bath City Church in 2003. I'll never forget going into this giant auditorium. There were 1,700 people there. We went to sit at the back. I remember feeling, what is this in this room? Then I heard John Arnott speaking about the Father's love, the Holy Spirit, and who Jesus is. They invited us to come forward, and in the invitation to come forward, I forgave my earthly father for a lot of things. Some unkind things, some things he shouldn't have done, and some things he didn't do that he should have done as a father. In the midst of that forgiveness, I had an encounter with God. In that moment, the power of God hit me, and every single sickness that I was carrying back then, every single sickness left my body. Epilepsy left. Arthritis left my knees, cystic ovaries vanished. The moment I felt God, my whole body was healed. All right, couple more. This next one is, I hit the deck right there. The first time that I encountered God was in Colorado at Estes Park. When I heard the gospel preached, when the altar call came, instead of running up to the front, I ran outside the building instead. As I went stumbling up the mountainside, probably looking for an opportunity to have a cigarette, I literally walked smack into the presence of God. Although he was invisible, I knew I was standing face to face with God Almighty, and I was in his presence. I hit the deck right there. I just collapsed into the pathway and wept before God as I felt this incredible weight of all my sin and yet his incredible love washing over me. He lavished his love on me and called me his son and called me into his family. I have never, ever been the same since. All right, last one. And this one is called, I Didn't Want to Move. The first time I encountered God, I actually didn't know what had hit me. It just felt like there was this tangible. It just felt like there was this tangible love that came with a weightiness. It was just so silky smooth. My heart felt so much peace. I just wanted to rest. I didn't want to move. I just wanted to stay in it, to rest, to let this love that felt almost liquid come into my soul in every part. It was like a realization that God was doing something deep within my heart. I was giving him permission, just saying, God, whatever you have for me, I'm here. Just come. I'm so not used to this, but I love it. So would you just keep coming and filling me with that liquid love and presence? Sweet stories, huh? Anyways, the title of my sharing is Experiencing the Presence in the Present. Cute alliteration, huh? Experiencing the presence in the present. But how many people in their own lives are even vocally out loud are saying, well, if God is always present, why aren't I seeing any results? If God is here, why am I experiencing all these physical ailments and sicknesses and things of that nature? But what about this one? If God is always with us, why does he allow all of these terrible things in the world to happen? Or why hasn't God healed me? Why did God allow this person to leave us so soon? Things of that nature are constantly asked by people around the world. I know I've been asked those questions before by many people. And my response to those people is always this. How's your walk? Or, I like to phrase it a better way, are you seeking him? We're going to start this morning in Matthew chapter 6. And Matthew 6:33, which I know is a favorite for many of you, says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see that? Seek him first. That should be step one with just about anything you say and do. Because you know in life, we would generally like to start anything at step one. And not step 10. I can't wear my shoes without taking them out of the closet first, right? Seek God first. And so many things will happen as a result of doing that. Seeking God and just spending time with the Father can solve many issues all on its own. But that seems to be the problem in so many people's lives. They expect problems to be solved or for God to give them the desires of their heart without even asking first. Easier said than done? Well, I wouldn't say so, because we need to experience God's presence in the present and not after the fact. Because God is too good. And many times He works with those who are in this category. But I think it's so important that we just minister to those who need it with this approach. You ask the necessary questions. Are they even attempting to experience God's presence? Let's take a look at the context of Matthew chapter 6 this morning. I'm going to go to verse 31. It says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But here it is, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." See, experiencing the presence of God, which is one of my favorite subjects, as you all know, kind of seems like a mystery for a lot of people. Sounds like this magnificent yet evasive thing that some people get to experience only sometimes, but isn't concrete enough to expect or place your hope in. Because I think we associate God's presence with emotions, music, things of that nature, things that we can feel or see or touch. That's called the five senses. But in reality, God's presence is as simple as being in the presence of a friend or a spouse. It's as simple as concrete. It's as simple and concrete as being around a person, except for one simple truth. God never leaves. That's the difference. Just as you could be sitting across from a friend and be so busy with technology or your own thoughts, or even remember they are there, you can go through life focused on the busyness of the present circumstances around you and miss out on the fact that God is closer than our very breath. But we find hope for encountering the presence of God. Let's go to Psalm 27:4. If you want to turn there, Psalm 27:4. Says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." This pursuit, this action of seeking the living God, never comes back void, never comes back empty. To seek God is to encounter Him. And emotions aside, God is already with us. He's been with us ever since the beginning. The Spirit of God that lives inside each and every one of us, that presence in us, never ever leaves us and never forsakes us. Got to get these braces off very soon. And when you turn your attention towards the Father, just as you can to a friend sitting across the table, like I mentioned, you can encounter Him. And Psalm 139, 7 says, I love this one, "Where shall I go from your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence?" God's presence is always available. He's not a God who turns away from you or hides His heart. He's not a small gust of wind that comes and goes as He pleases, like many people think. He's a God who makes His presence fully, continuously available to all those who would seek Him first. There's never a wrong time to experience the presence of God, because it's the pivotal thing that we do as born-again believers, whether we realize it or not. And it's the thing that keeps us spiritually strong. But the challenge we're up against, guys, is the circumstances that we face on a daily basis, day by day living, because we in ourselves always try to figure things out on our own. That's just the reality of the physical nature. But there's a wonderful alternative to all of this. I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. I think you all know where I'm going with this. Isaiah 40. Verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know what? Those who seek the Father's guidance for just about anything know that they might not necessarily receive a response right then and there. But this verse in Isaiah is what I would say is an indicator of what it really means to seek the Father. Because those that wait upon God will have their strength renewed and perhaps learn a few things in the process. Because the promise that follows is that God is going to raise us up with wings as eagles. I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You know, people want to know the answers to their questions about why they haven't seen any results. Chances are that you didn't run to God, but you probably ran from God. And that's just a common characteristic of human beings. Because we've all been guilty of this at one time or another. We've ran from the safest place we could possibly be in for something completely the opposite. Many times we run to ourselves, our own thoughts, our abilities, our strengths, our weaknesses. The list goes on and on, but guess what? Get us nowhere. Psalm 23. Let's read that. All right, Psalm 23. Just don't have time to develop this entire subject, but the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Talk about experiencing the presence of God, my goodness. Green pastures, still waters, paths of righteousness, the house of the Lord. Slow down. In these moments, we want to engage in our conversation with God. I want to go to another verse here in Psalm. Psalm 103. Kind of wrap things up here. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The human tendency is to forget. We forget to do many things that are important to our born-again life. God does not want us to forget. You know that God is sometimes referred to as the fountain of living waters, and that's, you can read about that in Jeremiah 2:13 at some point in time. We used to sing a song back in the day called I Shall Not Be Moved. And the lyrics were, I shall not be moved just like a tree that's planted by the living waters. Because oftentimes people get to a place of unrest, and that's where they don't think that they'll see any fruit, because they forget to experience God's presence first. Then they try after the fact. But the solution, putting yourself in a place of experiencing the presence of God. Seek God first and experience his presence now in this present moment, and you will see the fruit that will come of that. Amen? All right, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reality that we live as born-again ones. We cannot come up with the accurate words to describe how we feel and how thankful we are, Father. I ask that you help us to continue to seek you and your presence first in everything we do, not just in the storms of life, Father, but the challenge we're up against in our day-to-day living, Father. I pray for each heart here this morning that they're all just energized and strengthened by your words and your word, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, and they all said, amen. God bless.